This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon to our Cape Pulpit, Radio Cape Pulpit listeners. We're so excited to be with you this afternoon because we have special guests here in the studio. And I'm Calvin.
And I'm Terry. And this is Couples of Destiny.
And we're coming to you live from the studio. And it's another insert of Couples of Destiny. I trust that those that have been listening to us have really been applying all of those truths to your marriage, to your relationships. And we've got a awesome couple that we'll introduce shortly that will just give you another aspect on marriage, because I don't know, honey, when we got married, there wasn't the manual.
Well, yeah, we only heard about God's word, you know, and that kind of manual. I think life teaches us things, you know. I'm so excited what Toby and Zanel's going to share with us, because we don't know it all, you know. We always learn every day, and I think life is just a learning experience for all of us. And I wish I had a manual when I started out, you know. I wouldn't have done some of the things that I did. But God, in His gracious mercy, still forgives. Amen?
Yeah. And I thank God for the forerunners. I mean, there are people that know a lot more than we do, and books that have been written, and people's lifestyles that we can just look at and say, you know what, I aspire to be like that man over there. Even, you know, I remember I took my wife to a company function one day, I remember, I think it was raining, or I don't know, there was a distance issue from the place where we had dinner and where the vehicle was, and then I stopped the vehicle and my wife could see, and then I naturally got out and I opened her door, and I looked behind me, and my colleague was in his car, and he was saying, no, no. So he thought that this is going to be a trend because his wife saw what I did. So he was very upset with me. He said, why did you do that? Now I've got to have to do this, because I think they hit it off quite well. His wife and my wife hit it off quite well, but it worked out. And, you know, that's just, everyone's different. And so hopefully
we learn as we go.
So we're going to get stuck into a topic this afternoon called building a family culture that lasts. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many family cultures and marriages that do not last in society for various reasons. And so we're going to get stuck into that after the break. We're going to go to a song break very quickly by Do You Know, Nathan Sheridan, and we'll hear from this awesome couple. So stay with us. Family, we're back with you on Radio Cape Pulpit, and we're so excited because we have a special couple here this afternoon that are going to be blessing us, or you, the listener. If you're on Facebook, please connect with us. We'd like to hear from you. Maybe there's some additional questions you'd like to ask, but I'll be posing some questions to Toby and Zanel this afternoon. So welcome, Toby and Zanel. We're glad that you're here, and just tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you here.
Well, my name is Toby, and you are?
Zanel.
And we've been married for 27 years.
Awesome.
We've got three children, turning 21, 17, and 9. Mm. So we've got a good spread of ages in our home. And we've been in ministry for all our married life.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's been a very interesting journey for us, from different kind of ministries, youth ministry into pastoral ministry, and then now of late into ministry to families and parenting and marriages and so on. So yeah, what brought us here is you invited us to be here today. Thank you so much.
I think there was a call from outside that came through us to you. So we thank you guys for coming. I know there are lots of people that want to hear from you. But I have a scripture quickly, and then I'm going to pose some questions to you. In Matthew chapter 19, from the Message translation, verse 4 to 6 says, He answered, Haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And because of this, a man leaves father and mother and his family, and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh. No longer two bodies, but one, because God created this organic union of the two sexes. No one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart. Mm. I think it's so beautiful. The Message says it just beautifully. Sure. Now, maybe Toby or Zanel, you know, we're looking at the approach to marriage at the end of the day. There are ones that want to get married, those that are married. How should how should engaged couples, or maybe even already married couples, approach marriage to make it last?
Yeah. I think it's very important to start before you get married.
Yeah.
To get the foundations right, to get God's design for marriage right. And what we normally share with couples that approach marriage is we help them to see the misunderstanding that many times there is when it comes to marriage, that people think it's something based on a contract rather than on a covenant. There's a massive difference when you think of those two things. And basically it's because they think of signing a register, you know, with the photographs on and the witnesses and these days you got the fingerprints as well, all those kind of things. And they say, well, it's a legal document. And yes, it is a legal document in the eyes of home affairs and our nation's the way of acknowledging a marriage. But before you sign a document, you say something on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Or you will say something on your wedding day. That is really where the connection is. That is where the foundation is put into that marriage, because marriage is established through spoken vows, not a signed paper. That's why we, as a marriage officer, I would say to couples, I'd say, do you before God and these witnesses?
Yes.
And that's what it's about.
Yes.
God is there as the main witness, and you've invited these people to your wedding to be the witnesses of what? Of your vows.
Yeah.
Not of signing the paper, because that's normally done like in the back room where there's just the witnesses there.
That's true.
The two witnesses that sign. So it's much more impactful when we speak something, when we say something, and those verbal promises really has a lot more to do with marriage than the piece of paper that goes and stays at home affairs and can be eaten by moths or corrupted by data or whatever, you know, can be lost. Now, the question is, what is a covenant?
Yeah.
What is a covenant? And the Latin word for that is a coming together. And the verse, Calvin, that you read just now speaks so amazingly about that, about the coming together, becoming one, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
In ancient times, when people made covenants, they didn't break that.
That's true.
You never broke a covenant. You kept it for life. That was how it worked. And a good definition for covenant is a solemn agreement that binds parties together in a permanently defined relationship. So if you think of marriage, that's what God had in mind with marriage, that it will be a permanently defined marriage between a man and a woman. And that kind of, if you think of, and there's other covenants as well. You think of David and Jonathan had a covenant, which they stood up for each other.
Yes.
I mean, Jonathan went to lengths to protect David as his covenant
brother.
Partner. Mm. And if you think of Israel, they had made a wrong covenant with the Gibeonites.
Mm.
And what did they have to do? They had to fight for them.
Yep. Yeah.
Even though they were never supposed to make that covenant, they understood covenant and they knew if we make this covenant, even if it's wrong, we need to keep it.
Yeah.
So I've alluded to the difference between covenant and contract. And if you look at a contract mindset, it's a 50-50 mindset.
Yeah.
I bring 50%, you bring 50%.
Yeah.
So we make up 100. And that's not quite what it is. And I will just briefly explain to you what covenant mindset is. But because that's bilateral thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I bring my part, you bring your part. That's contract thinking. And it can be broken or dissolved by many things. Mm. Contracts can be broken by a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's temporary with possible exit clauses.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't want that in marriage. You don't want to go into marriage and have an exit clause in mind, at the back of your mind, and say, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to... That's not commitment.
And the thing is, we want it to last. I mean, the question is, how do we make it last? And I feel like that covenant relationship, not just alone, the paperwork, which is so amazing. I mean, you're saying it in that aspect now, I realize, because our words, we're going to be held accountable by the words we speak.
Absolutely.
So what we say before signing the contract is actually so much more important, the covenant we're making with God and with each other.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is so valuable. I like that.
Ecclesiastes 4 says, do not make a vow if you don't intend to keep
it. Correct.
Correct. God is not, he's not into that.
Yeah.
So, that's the contract side. Mm-hmm. So now we'll explain the covenant side.
Yeah, so the covenant side is 100% commitment from both.
Mm.
So when you do say, I do, there's a commitment from inside. and your voice is acknowledging that commitment. So there's no mindset of, okay, there's exit clauses or there is a breach of contract or anything like that to escape from that commitment. And we need to understand that making that that vow is in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And with Him, there's no, you can't return your words.
Yeah.
So it's a complete lifelong covenant understanding and commitment that both should have and bring fully 100% from both sides to this relationship.
Yeah, because love gives, you know, and I realize that when we give 100%, it's always meaning that it's going to be returned. Now, if I give 100% to my husband, I know he's going to give me 100% back, you know. And I like that because many people say, oh, we go 50-50. No.
You're going as half individuals.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give a little bit of love now. You can pour out the rest so we can have a 100%. You know, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know, I think that's
the
world.
And God doesn't give love that way.
No.
He gave everything to us.
And unconditionally.
Yeah.
And if you look in Scripture, it was never God that broke covenant. It was always man that broke covenant.
Yeah.
God sticks to the promise that He's made.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we need to learn from our Creator at the end of the day. And as humans, it's difficult because people back out so easily when times are tough. Isn't that so?
Yeah. And for any reason, they back out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a couple of marriages now in my life and ministry, and I've never heard, I don't know if you've ever heard, people say, I will love you until you burn the food. Well, I will love you until you do something stupid with our finances.
That's true.
That's not what we commit.
Yeah.
We normally say, I will love you until death us do part.
Yes.
That's covenant language right there.
Yes.
Which was written in by people who wrote those vows long ago.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just say that on a wedding day and we don't even think or realize what we're saying.
Yeah.
You see, the 100%, it makes you think of Ephesians 5:25. I mean, so beautifully the Bible says that husbands love your wives.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful, just as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
And that is giving 100%.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Like as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
And in the same way, wives should submit to the husbands as well in the same 100%. I like that part.
Yeah.
So,
And you know what you were saying is alluding to being, God is unconditional in His love.
Mm. Absolutely.
We become conditional.
Yeah.
We set forth, like the contract says, there's certain conditions and precepts. In the contract, God is unconditional in His love to us. Whether even if we sin, the Bible says, grace abound where sin abound, grace abound much more.
Mm.
So, and that's the loving Father that we serve. And so, in the same way, our covenant should be in that way with no conditions.
Yeah.
Even
and
if
it's not a one-sided thing because giving 100% is sharing the roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, even though it's your duty to put out the garbage bin, for example, my goodness, you may not be able to do it that day, but I'm going to 100% support you and put it out for you.
Like
you know?
This morning.
In the rain.
The garbage truck arrived earlier, so I had to jump in.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome. That's teamwork. Listen, we're getting excited here. We're getting into some deep stuff here. There's some comments on Facebook from John Mankopan says, acknowledging the main witness. Amen.
Yes.
You know, praise God. Leslie Turner says it has to be 100%. So praise God. We're going to go over to song quickly, but send us your comments and your questions. Here's Rachel Lumper singing Perfectly Loved.
Passion for purpose and people. Cape Pulpit 7 to 9 AM.
Family, we are listening to a wonderful couple, Toby and Zanelle. And they're talking to us this afternoon about building a family culture that lasts. Mm. They just spoke earlier on in the previous segment about contract versus covenant, you know, at the end of the day. So think about it. Are you in a contract or in a covenant? It's a decision that you need to make. And then we spoke about, you know, how do you approach marriage? And maybe just another question to you, Toby and Zanelle, just what is the best advice you can give engaged couples as they near this married life that we already used to?
Yeah, I think we would always suggest that they do as much preparation as possible, not just for the wedding day, but also for what happens after the wedding day, because, I mean, you're sharing life from that moment for the rest of your days. So preparation for that change in your life is really necessary, you need to also do a good marriage preparation course. We would suggest, we also have one that we've put together where you go into deep aspects of married life and make sure that you understand what you say I do for. Mm-hmm. Then also transparency is really key. A lot of times that's part of your foundation. If transparency is not part of your foundation, you're setting yourself up for some serious problems mm-hmm. later on. To pray from the beginning, to pray together as a couple and exercise your muscles to pray together.
Yeah, right.
And not just jump in and then later on when you're in trouble, then you want to start trying to pray together. And also to get into a good biblical foundation church family, because accountability and support structures around you is really very, very important to have.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've learned from experience as well with couples, you know, and they've come back to us and they said, you know, if you didn't tell us what to expect in the marriage, you know, we'd have been lost. We thought, like, we're leaving. So they would refer back to the notes.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when Pastor and Prophet said this and whatever, we went back, okay, this is what we're supposed to do, you know. And so that helped them. You know, there were some guidelines at the end of the day. So we could provide some sort of manual. Where many people didn't have a manual, we've built it up through our own experience and yourselves as well. Mm. You know, and I think when it comes to building a marriage now, I mean, there's a we spoke about the individuals that are going to get married. But if we speak about building a marriage, what's wrong with the thinking of marriage? And I alluded to it earlier on, the thinking of marriage as a 50-50% partnership.
Yeah. Well, it's just not a covenant commitment.
Yeah.
It's not really a commitment, because you're saying I bring only 50%.
Yeah,
that's what I'm willing to give.
Yeah,
and you bring the other 50, and then we see where we come out. But actually, we need to give 100% from both sides. It's like having a cell phone contract. I mean, if you go to any of the service providers and you take out a contract for, let's say, 100 rand a month, they say, okay, you give us 100 rand, we'll give you 100 rand's worth of airtime.
Mm.
What happens if you don't pay that?
Right.
Then they've got no obligation to give you the 100 rand's worth of airtime, so they can just stop your service right there.
Right. Mm.
That's contract thinking. That's 50-50 partnership.
Yeah.
Because if you bring your part, I'll bring my part, and that's not what marriage is. Because here's God's blueprint for marriage, which ties into this. It's one, and you read it in that verse that you started with, Calvin. 1 + 1 = not 2, but 1.
Correct.
For a lifetime.
Correct.
And for that, you need 100% commitment. For that to work, for that 1 + 1 = 1 to work, you need to have unity. And unity only comes when everyone in the marriage gives 100%, contributes everything to the full. That is where that unity lies.
Yeah, there should be no reservation. No reservation. No. I think 50% is like people want to have reservation, like leaving room for error. Like you said, you know, I'm going to get married, and until you do this and that, then I'll divorce you. Or some people get into a marriage and say, oh, no, I'm getting married because I want to be a divorcee.
Mm.
You know, well, that's in the world. I heard worldly people say that I'm getting married because I want to be divorced.
Sure.
You know, so from the beginning, it's like, where on earth do these people want to be? Anyway, back to the topic of discussion. You were saying the part where you asked Toby about the 50-50, right? We think about how that could also be a part of the enemy's strategy.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of his greatest weapons, he's the biggest enemy in marriage, could be one of those. But there's probably so much more. What do you think for the other enemies?
Yeah, I think things that people think of first when it comes to problems in marriage, they think of, wow, it must be communication, it must be finances, or it must be unfaithfulness, you know, someone that goes and does something outside the marriage that they're not supposed to. And those are all big things.
Yeah.
But coming back to the 50-50, there's a reason why that's there.
Mm.
Because it's called, and this is the biggest enemy that we've identified in marriage, is unselfishness. Selfishness. That people think about themselves, about I'm going to give only 50% because I've got the reservation.
Yeah.
That I want to see what you're going to do. If you're going to do the same, if you're going to match it. It's not about matching. It's about going all in with everything. And that means, like Jesus said, we've got to die to ourselves. And marriage is a great place to learn how to do that, right?
to die to yourself.
So that's the one thing we'd say. And we call it like the silent assassin, because it is so creepy. It just creeps into your marriage. Selfishness is not that thing that just stands up and everyone sees it all of a sudden. I like to associate it with a chess piece called the knight, which moves very unconventionally. Not in straight lines, it jumps three blocks and then it goes left or right.
Mm.
And it can actually reach the whole, a quarter of the whole board in one move.
Mm.
Anywhere, it can go to a different quarter with one move. And it's incredible how that can be overlooked by someone, and that's why the knight is such a valuable piece on the chessboard.
Wow.
Selfishness works in the same way. It catches us off guard.
Yeah.
Because we don't expect it to be there.
Mm.
We don't always see it, and then it kicks in and it just, it rears its ugly head.
Sure.
I heard a story of a rabbi who asked a man to look through a window and tell him what he sees. And he looked through the window and he said, well, I can see the trees outside. I can see that person walking. And he took him to a mirror and he said, what do you see? And he said, well, I see myself. He said, do you know that a mirror and a window are both made of glass, but the only difference is the sheet of silver. That's the very thin sheet that makes you see a whole different perspective.
Yeah.
And that is what selfishness is. Yeah. Looking into a window but only seeing yourself.
Hmm.
And it's so deceptive. Psalm 119, verse 36 says, turn my heart, this is the psalmist praying, says, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain.
Sure.
And that is what God wants us in marriage to stay away from.
You know, Toby, you're mentioning about selfishness, and this is what we encourage couples as well. You should get these identifiers, or you should identify this during the dating phase already, prior to marriage, about the person's character and personality. And
absolutely.
You should know if this is the right person for you at the end of the day. And wait until you're married, and then, I didn't know. Then you actually didn't get to know the person prior to marriage.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to end up in marriage with someone you like. Who are you?
Exactly.
That wasn't the person I met when we started going out or whatever, or we got engaged and so forth. So that is really something you gotta. That's why Zanel touched on transparency also before marriage.
Yeah,
be transparent with each other.
Sure.
It's also interesting that marriage also tend to reveal the real self in you. And it's interesting that most of the time after people get married, their focus always go to the other person. But that's actually the time that you should start working on yourself and not the other person.
Yes.
Yeah. They make an idol of their spouse or vice versa.
I think we live in these busy lives that it's really, like you said, we're aiming towards that big day. You're not aiming to get to know each other prior to the day and post. Yeah. It's all about the stuff and the things and the bling and all these things instead of getting to know the character of each other, knowing that, is this the person that God has called me to be with for the rest of my life?
Yeah. Look, the thing is, they are the fact of the unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's another topic for another time, because I think, you know, couples wanting to get married, especially on a Christian format, we're speaking to the listeners out there. This is a Christian platform.
Yes.
So speaking to couples who are born again, you know, wanting to have a marriage that lasts, for example, people still struggle despite the fact that they are both born again.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What kind of struggles do you hear about that can help a listener out there? You know, that he's battling. They're both born again, but they're still struggling.
Yeah. I think it's important to understand that marriage comes from God, and that's the starting point.
Yeah.
And because it comes from God, it's got a real enemy.
Yeah.
Because Satan doesn't like what God does. He doesn't like anything that resembles anything that God has put in place. And we always say that God holds the IP, the intellectual property on marriage.
Yeah.
If you think of how marriage is under attack these days,
people
trying to change the definitions of marriage and this and that,
and
you just read it very clearly there, it's a man and a wife.
Yeah.
It's a man and a woman. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the two sexes coming together in marriage.
Correct.
And that is God's design, but it's under attack, because when you step into marriage, you can expect, even though you're Christian, even though you're both born again, you can expect there to be challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're stepping into something that God has designed so beautifully, but there's an enemy that wants to just thwart that image and take it out of, knock it out of whack, because he wants to get back at God.
Yeah.
And marriage is, and Jesus then, Paul said that the marriage is a symbol of Christ and the church.
Yeah.
And man, that just put fuel on the fire for Satan.
Yeah.
He just wants to get at that because he hates that picture.
Angry.
Yeah, the bride and groom. And this is what Couples of Destiny is about, marriages, the bride and the groom. And so we're talking about God preparing us as the bride here on earth for his ultimate coming.
Yeah. We want our listeners just to, you know, let us know how this is encouraging you and how this is helping you right now, even in your relationship. Maybe there's things that you didn't know. Maybe you didn't go through that counseling. There's hope at the end of the day. So we're going to go over to a break and then we can come back for our last slot. The song we're going to listen to is Grateful by Stephen Curtis Chapman. Family, we're talking about our marriage today, and really God wants to speak to you regarding the culture in your marriage. And we've got awesome feedback on Facebook. Toby and Zanel has really been blessing us, building a family culture that lasts. And maybe just another question I can pose to them this afternoon, when we're speaking about spirituality, you know, there's tools, spiritual tools or weapons. So what spiritual tools or weapons does God give married couples to strengthen their marriage?
Yeah, I think there's many that we can look at, but a few that maybe just might be very overlooked at times is everybody talks about prayer, but prayer is really a very strong conversation to have between a husband and wife and God.
Right.
And if you can exercise that, and if you can practice that in your daily living, it really strengthens your marriage and touches a lot of aspects in your married life and your family. And then obviously to welcome the Holy Spirit in your relationship, because sometimes he's like the one that equalizes, that stabilizes, that helps you see the perspective from a different angle and things like that. So it's part of growing with the Holy Spirit. And then also accountability. We like to refer to it as safeguard your marriage. So to have a support structure, but not just in family and friends and so on, but also like a church family that's really biblical-based foundation in the Bible, because that helps the husband and the wife both in their identity and the role which they have in marriage and as a mother and a father when the family gets extended. Because I mean, we live in Africa, and if you go on a safari, it doesn't take you long to realize those vulnerable ones, the moment they are set apart from a group, they are the ones that's being attacked.
That's right.
And yet we live every day trying to do things on our own, and we expose ourselves to the enemy.
It's incredible. And you know, we start off with husband and wife, but then there's family that comes, your kids come, you know. Yeah. So if you're moving towards the family culture now, and if I were to ask the question, how do we parent in a way that will impact generations to come?
Yeah,
we always like to refer to, you know, when God gives something for one generation, he wants us to impart that to the next generation. So if we compare that to a loaf of bread that we have to give to our children, there's a lot of slices that makes up a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And if my perspective and my worldview is not in line with the Word of God, then there's some slices I might remove because culture does this or the majority do this. And so we lose a lot of those valuable things that we need to impart to the next generation. So it's important for us to really take it serious and take the Word of God in its completeness and build that into our family life so that we can give that to our children.
Yeah, because the danger is that if you keep taking slices out of the bread that you're supposed to pass on to your children, you end up giving them a bag of crumbs and saying, good luck, my boy, my girl. Go into the world and prosper and do your best, but you haven't given them the sustenance they need because you've taken out a lot of slices.
Yeah.
And they don't need crumbs. They need a loaf to sustain them.
Yeah, so Proverbs 13 verse 22, for instance, says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So what we impart in our children's lives should be a deposit or an investment to them and the children coming after them. So it's also not just for them in this culture. It's for the cultures to come, the generations and the culture changes that comes must all be built on the Word. And we also need to understand that we as parents hold hold a key in our hands, and that is to unlock or to lock sometimes even certain blessings and certain things in our children's lives. So it's a huge responsibility that we do have, and we must in humiliation, in humility, and in total dependence on God and the Holy Spirit, invest in our relationship with God to the extent that it overflows into that action to unlock blessing to the generations after us.
That's really powerful. Now, I mean, you're saying all of this, but is there any biblical foundation for approaching parenting in a generational legacy? And what verses and stories could illustrate this possibly?
Yeah, it's beautiful that when you read the Word of God, you see that God has always the intent of blessing to flow from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
From us to our children and to the grandchildren and to those to come. And whenever blessing is pronounced in the Bible, it is intended for not only this generation but the next. Look at this verse. Genesis 12 verse 3 says, I will bless those. This is God speaking to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.
Mm.
So this is something that's got to be, it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
It's like throwing a stone, and then the ripples go out towards those who will come. Not only for us. So we're not parenting just for now, for those living in our homes, first of all for them, but what do we give them to take on with them?
Yeah.
Psalm 115 verse 14 to 15 says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the increase and the blessing is not only for us as parents, it's for our children and for their children.
Sure.
It needs to go on. Then we jump to the New Testament, and Peter said the following in Acts 2 verse 39. He says, he spoke to the household that came to faith. He said, because they actually said, what do we do? When they heard all these things, they said, what are we to do? They were cut to the heart and they said, what do we do now? And Peter said, well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he said in verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children.
Yeah.
And for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. So you must always remember as parents that we are parenting the generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we need to bless them. We need to keep giving into their lives, sowing into their lives, so that they can take that on with them.
Sure.
That is so true.
Yeah, and it's important for us to understand that families are the building blocks of society.
Yeah.
We were traveling to present a seminar once in the Welland area, and when we were traveling on our way, we prayed for the seminar, and it was almost like there was a building on our left side that was still under construction, and it was almost like the Lord said to us, well, you see those pillars that they put those steel rods in, and then the cement is thrown into that, and it anchors the building into the ground. That's what God intends with families in our society. Mm. So if family life goes, then communities go, cities go, regions go, countries go. And we can see that in today's society. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to understand how important it is to build a strong marriage, to build strong families, so that we can have a country that flourishes and God's will can be established in society.
Wow. You know, this is such an important topic, and you know, we don't have enough time to get into everything today, and we'd really like to get you guys back to delve a bit deeper into this. Just one or two messages on Facebook here before we go over to a song break, and then we have to come back and pray for you guys. John Mankupan says, the example of the loaf of bread is amazing. Thank you. So people are receiving what you're saying today. Les says, most young people and couples today do not feel that they need to go for marriage counseling course, that should be the number one priority before the marriage. So it's really powerful. We're going to go over to a song break right now. When we come back, we're going to ask the couple just to pray for you. But send us your messages and maybe questions for future sessions that we'd like to have as well, that we could answer. And so we're going to go over to a song by Yonita Duplessis, I'm Forgiven. Toby and Zanel have blessed us this afternoon. Such incredible truths. Lots of Facebook messages here. We're so encouraged by what you've said and what you've shared. There's more that you want to say, I'm sure, but time does not permit this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, just listening to your approach to marriage and also how people can navigate through getting to the covenant part and doing all the things that we like, you know, we say do. For us, it's about leaving legacy, you know, in this time. And especially we're coming to the close of the Father's Day month and the youth month. It was all about building legacy, building relationships, building family and, and children. You know, I always think about children in ministry, PK, they call preachers' kids. They don't have to live in glass houses, you know, kind of thing. So when they live out there, they still, they feel like, oh, I have to, I'm now going to live my life and just be free. You know, I mean, we've heard some stories about children who've been living in glass houses because they were PKs and they couldn't be free to do what they wanted to do. They didn't have a taste of the world. And when they got out to the world, they forgot about having to, not forgot, but they just neglected what they were taught and just gone out in the world. But leaving legacy, you know, having a legacy, especially which is relevant to families in this time. And in the season, like we know, the enemy doesn't like anything that God created. And he will do everything he can to kill, steal, and destroy. That the word of God says. But Jesus says we have life in abundantly. That is why he came. So the scripture I was led to read this afternoon is in Proverbs 13:22. And I'm reading from the New King James. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So this legacy isn't just a material thing. It's spiritual and it's generational, as you mentioned. So before I ask you to pray, I'm going to read the last scripture that is in this whole legacy and afternoon chat that we had, the conversation we've had. And listeners, you really know that this is ministering to you. If you know somebody, a family who's struggling, a couple who is preparing for marriage, or even children who are seeking for some ground rules and some form of worship or what they can hold on to. First of all, they know they've got to know Christ. They've got to be born again. And you can be the witness for them today. But this scripture today, Psalm 78 verse 4 says, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and all the wonders he has done. Tell your story, share your testimony. Somebody needs to hear it so they can be raised up for tomorrow's faith. Amen.
Amen.
Please pray for us.
Father, I want to pray today for people out there listening and watching on Facebook. And Father, maybe they're sitting there and they're wondering about marriage and if they can make it, if it's worth it. Lord, I pray that you will just encourage them today, that the way that you've put marriage together is beautiful. It is special. It is something that, that only you could do and make, and you want them to receive the fullness of that. And I pray that you will just infuse their lives, their hearts, with courage to keep on walking, to not go and sit down, but to keep fighting for their marriages, Lord. I pray for those on their way to marriage that they will embrace covenant, that they will understand and prepare themselves well for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we also pray that everybody that was listening today and every person that is just yearning for being in that deep relationship with you as God our Father, that we will run to you and that we will allow your Son Jesus to do his perfect and complete work in our lives through your Spirit on a daily basis, so that we can be able to parent from a faith-based foundation, from your word, and not from fear. Because, Lord, you have called us. You have placed us here for a purpose. You've got a destiny for every person and a testimony that you want to share with the world. And, Lord, help us to go back, to run to our Father, to run to Jesus, and to open our hearts for your Spirit so that you can equip us and send us to those that need to hear from you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you once again, Toby and Zanel. We're going to have you back with your permission, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the culture of marriage, and we were truly blessed. And so everybody, Communica just sends waves as well on Facebook. And so we're going to encourage you, listeners, join in next week. We're going to continue with our Couples of Destiny. So this is me, Calvin, saying goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
And enjoy this week until we catch with you next week, Wednesday, 12 to 1. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.